The House Ever and Commerce Committee to order. Let the record reflect that the time is 3:22 p.m. and the date is Wednesday, April 26, 2006. We have a quorum. Members present, Representative Kott, Rokeberg, Wadu, and myself, Chairman Anderson. We have Ms. Janice Wilson here, RCA appointee, and then Senate Bill 300 Motor Vehicle Negative Equity Contract, Senator Seekins, who's in the audience. Janice, why don't you come up first? Thanks for waiting. And then we will go. Did you fly in for this?
I had other business here as well.
Oh, well, no, but that's very kind of you.
Now, the answer was yes, I flew in specifically
to appear before this committee. Yes.
You have a really solid, stellar background, but why don't you real quick go through your background? You're an appointee. We'll move your name forward, and then the full House will have your name.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Roper.
Just for the record, I just wanted the committee to know that Ms. Wilson's a constituent of mine and needs to be treated with the utmost dignity.
Oh, for sure.
I know you will anyway, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you. I am a longtime administrative law judge for the first Public Utilities Commission and now the Regulatory Commission of Alaska. The ALJ position was the first position there was in the state. Now we have a whole office full of ALJs that were recently introduced. And in the 90s, we got a ALJ for tax matters. But this was the first position. It was a statutory position created in 1981 when the Alaska Pipeline Commission merged into the Alaska Public Utilities Commission. And I have filled that position ever since 1981. Now, that's probably the most striking thing on my resume, that I've had the same job for 25 years. And what I want you to conclude from that is not that I'm a dull person, but that the job is a very, very interesting and varied job. I have presided over all the concurrent hearings that the FERC has had with the Alaska Pipeline Commission and the Alaska Public Utilities Commission and the Regulatory Commission of Alaska since 1981. And in addition, I've presided over utility matters. And on a personal level, I grew up in the Midwest. I went to college on the East Coast. I went to law school in the Mountain West. And I headed up here for a short adventure, and I've been here ever since.
She says, and I vacation in Hawaii, so you've hit it all. Are there any questions? Now's the time. I wanted to bring
Representative Roper will probably have a question.
Yeah, and that's, I told Janice to be prepared. Such good qualifications. I didn't even think we need to drag her in here, but give her the opportunity for the record. Representative Roper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question.
And Representative Crawford's turn.
Ms. Wilson came to my office yesterday. I should have asked her there, but if I could ask her right now and then take a moment of the committee's time, if I could ask if we could go at ease.
Off the rush? Sure, we'll take a brief at ease. We'll reconvene at 3:28. That question's been answered. So we got to the point of questions for Ms. Wilson in terms of her resume or in terms of her background. I would just say, you know, that there will be, we've dealt with, I see some folks in the telecommunication industry, we've dealt with those issues, and of course oil tariff and the telephony, there's so many different areas RCA deals with. I know I had a bill trying to pull the wastewater utility out of, actually Bagich recommended that, but I facilitated the bill, died in the other body, so those issues will always be resurfacing in my suspicion, and you can answer, but is that you have a little bit of expertise in all those areas, so when they come before, you'll be able to address those as competently or more than other members on the board.
I do have a little bit of expertise in all those areas, less in telephone than any of the other areas. I have not done much telephone work over my 25 years at the commission, although I have been around when much telephone work was done.
Sure. No, I hear you. Representative Kott?
I don't know if you're ready to move.
Okay, yeah, we're ready to go.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that Representative Rokeberg move and forward the name of Ms. Janice Wilson to the full House for their for confirmation to the Regulatory Commission of Alaska. Signing the report does not either mean that we are in support of her nomination or in opposition, but just that we endorse forwarding that on to the full House.
Hearing and seeing no objection, your name will be forwarded to the full body when we have our joint session with the Senate. And thank you very much for bringing your resume and coming to Juneau to meet with us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Thank you.
I told you it'd be tough.
Okay, next we have Senate Bill 300. Senator Seekins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I flew all the way in here today just so that I could address this.
Right.
You have before you a Senate Bill 300, which is a bill that I've introduced on by request. Basically, it's a bill of equity. Under federal law, national banks, federal credit unions are regulated under federal law, and in-house or manufacturer type of finance organizations such as General Motors Acceptance Corporations, Chrysler Conception, Toyota Credit, Ford Motor Credit are not only required to comply with federal law but with state law as well. And so a phenomenon has come into and I'm intricately familiar with the problem because I am in the car business, as you all know, and have been for the last 36 years. And when they came to me and looked at the bill, I looked at the law. I agreed that this was something that we needed to take a look at in state law to make sure that the requirements and the restrictions under state law line up with the requirements and restrictions under federal law as to contracts and how you would deal with a situation called negative equity. In the industry, we call it someone is upside down. In today's industry, you've seen all the promotions. Someone can come in and for zero down on a car, they can get it financed, provided that they're credit worthy. Finance terms now run up to 84 months in terms of contracts, 72 months, which was once thought unspeakable, is now commonplace. And so many people in their trade cycle, for one reason or another, will find themselves in a position because the manufacturer didn't require any down payment in the financing. They'll find themselves in a position where they want to trade their vehicle and they owe more on it than it's worth in actual cash dollars. The lines crossing between equity and what you owe extend farther out today than they ever did before. It's not something that I would recommend anybody in my family do, to trade a vehicle in your negative equity situation and then finance the difference. But that's a common practice in today's world. So the federal regulators got together and addressed this situation in Regulation Z and Regulation M of the federal law, said, which is, where do you disclose on a financing document the negative equity position? We've never done that under state law. So what I as a dealer could work with a national bank or a federal credit union on their contract and disclose it and meet all the applicable regulations, it may not be meeting all the regulations and laws of the state of Alaska if I do the same thing on a Ford Motor Credit Company contract. So that's what this bill does. And I've got there should be an illustration in there of an upside down situation in your packet, just to give you some kind of an idea of what we're talking about. If you take a look, you find there might be a contract like this says Ford Motor Credit Company on the top.
Yep, that's in your packet, members.
Right. And if you take a look at that, you'll see you've got to kind of take it into two pieces because it didn't copy all the way down. It was faxed. You'll find down at the second page in there on that contract, there's a section about a little over halfway down on the right-hand side that's circled. It says outstanding prior balance. This is a vehicle that's being financed for a guy named Upside Down Joe. And it shows where that would be disclosed. Outstanding prior balance. That disclosure meets all federal regulatory requirements under Regulation Z. The third sheet in is a lease which is under a lease, a program is regulated under Regulation M of the federal regulations. And here again, what you find is about a two-thirds of the way down, just a little bit more than half on this column, you'll see a situation where it says it's owed to Ford Motor Credit negative equity. We've used the same numbers, but it's called a little different in terminology. It's called a negative equity. You go farther down and you look at this is a consumer paper from an Alaska conditional sales contract for a bank, and you'll see there's a section right here on this sheet that shows a excess of lien over trade value. Still the same thing, it's called different things in it, and it just has to describe what it is and where to put it. So what we do with this law is very simple. We say that we make our law and regulations, and where we disclose a negative equity situation, comply with the federal regulation under Regulation Z, which has to do with conditional sales contracts, and Regulation M, which deals with leases. That's all the bill really does. We have worked with the Attorney General's office. We've worked with other groups, and I don't know if Mr. Sniffen is here this afternoon online or not.
Ed Sniffen is online.
And I think he will testify for himself, but I think he'll verify exactly what I've told you this afternoon. And so it's just an equal footing bill. It says our law and federal law and how it applies to all of the different financing institutions that are out there will be exactly the same. Then there's no question. Then there's no gray area. And these lending institutions that today are the acceptance companies, as I'd say, the GMAC, the Ford Credit, the Toyota Credit, don't have a gray law. Their people feel more comfortable. We feel more comfortable as dealers when we're dealing with them, and everybody's on an equal footing. I'm more than happy to answer any questions that I can, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Seekins. Are there any questions for the Senator? Or if not, we'll go to Mr. Sniffen, Department of Law, Representative Crawford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was looking through this, and I didn't hear it. Maybe you said it, and I missed it. But is there any level that this is capped? How much negative equity you can borrow?
No, what it's capped on is your ability to repay, your financial capability. This, as I said earlier, is something that I don't recommend. If one of my kids were to start financing negative equity, they'd be in trouble with their dad, and we don't recommend it. We don't like it in the industry because it takes the person out of the market for a longer period of time. But it's an economic reality that we see with long-term financing and with the promotional programs that are out there. How many times do you turn a TV on and there'll be a Ford or Chrysler or somebody that's zero down on approved credit? And everything is on approved credit and your ability to be able to repay. So there will be that credit score, there will be that credit analysis that says, you know, from your disposable income, can you meet those payments or not within a reasonable percentage?
Follow-up, Representative Crawford?
Is there like a guideline where, in practice, they say, you know, we don't do more than 10% or 20% or 30%?
Not that I'm aware of. We've had people come in, and the record that we've ever seen someone upside down in a car is $19,000. They were not able to finance that on the next contract. So it is it basically comes down to the lender. If the bank thinks that you can make the payments, they'll finance the negative equity for you. Years ago, if someone didn't have a down payment and they didn't have it in cash, they could go and borrow that from a second lender. It used to be called, they'd go to the Mouse House for a Mickey Mouse loan, they called it, in fact. And so the person was paying two notes. They were paying one on the down payment, and they were paying one on the vehicle. The banks don't like that way. We want full disclosure. And if I would say probably, Representative Crawford, that you have the ability to finance a great deal of negative equity. I know that I would too, but what's going to determine it is the lending policies of the bank or institution and whether they feel that your loan now is a good risk.
Okay. Good. Other questions?
I think they were asked, you know, this is...
Oh, please, Representative Guttenberg. David Guttenberg, Fairbanks.
His representative, my senator.
That's right.
I mean, Representative Crawford's questions were relevant, and I you know, I guess much of it goes back to what the banks will simply finance.
That's correct.
And that's a problem. And how many times you could roll this over without, because that's the prevailing ability is what a bank will finance.
That's right. That's correct, Representative Guttenberg. It's just simply what do they feel is a good risk, and I know on Ford Credit's basis, they have a computer program that they load it all into, and it assigns a risk to the loan, and if you don't fit within the risk profile, you don't get financed. So you could, as I said, some people could finance more negative equity than another one. Again, it's not something I recommend, and I don't like the fact that it exists, but it does.
Good. We'll go to Ed Sniffen then, online from the Department of Law. Ed, your thoughts on the legislation?
Yes,
proposed?
Thank you. Chairman Anderson, Ed Sniffen with the Department of Law. I'm an assistant attorney general. My obligations include enforcement of the consumer protection statutes we have, and I have looked at this bill in connection with Senator Seekin's office, and we do support it. But I don't know that I can add much to Senator Seekin's excellent explanation of what this bill does, other than we did look at this bill from a consumer disclosure perspective to ensure that consumers who are doing this kind of a transaction are fully informed of the cost of their refinancing. And under the current federal Regulation M, as Senator Seekin has explained, and Regulation C, those disclosures are made very clearly. And under this new revised state system, as Senate Bill 300 proposes, those disclosures are still very adequately made. So if anything, I think it helps consumers because it streamlines the process and makes the disclosures very clear. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions, Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Ms. Sniffen. Are there any? Do the feds allow us to set the guidelines? I mean, if we do this, do we supersede any tighter restrictions than they might have that we're not putting in here?
Through the chair, Representative Guttenberg, no. That we won't be able to affect the way the feds regulate banks and other institutions that fall under the federal jurisdiction. So there really is no conflict here. This would only affect those entities that do fall under our state law. And as Senator Seekins explained, that would be the acceptance corporations that don't fit nicely within the federal definition of a bank or a credit union. So they are required to follow state laws as well as federal laws in some instances. So I don't believe there'll be any conflict there.
So if I can follow through. So that's my question. The banks have restrictions and oversight from the feds, and the lending institutions have different ones. So is there something that the state's not doing with the financing corporations that's that we should be, that we're not doing it here, some kind of consumer protection, like the amount of negative equity from year to year, or the number of times that they can roll this over from one car sale to the next?
Through the chair, Representative Guttenberg, yes, I think I understand your question, and I'm not certain that we are not regulating effectively the division of banking and securities that regulates most of the Alaska banking institutions that are not federally chartered, has some fairly comprehensive regulatory control over these institutions. As far as control over these acceptance companies with respect to limiting the amount of rollovers, for example, to be honest with you, I haven't really thought about that and thought about whether that's something we could even do. But that's certainly an interesting idea. I know we don't do that now, and I'm not sure that this bill is probably the place to do that, but that may be something to consider in the future.
Mr. Chairman, I could address some of that. If it was not allowed in Alaska, it would be allowed in 49 other states. people would simply buy their car in 49 other states.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, isn't it basically self-regulating because the banks won't loan anyway?
That is a self-regulating thing.
Yeah, yeah. They're going to deny the loan if somebody's getting too high anyway. Their creditworthiness is going to drive the transaction.
Exactly, and that is a tough question. Again, I said, and this is just an equity bill. It just says one thing we can regulate, and another thing we want to make sure that we're equating on the same basis. And it's a bill by request, and they understand what the gray area is and want to make sure that the law is similar to the federal law.
Makes sense. We'll take a brief at ease here. I want to speak with the senator, and then we'll come right back. It's 3:46. Representative Lynn.
Mr. Chair, at your pleasure, I would make a motion to move the bill.
It is my pleasure of the utmost.
try to contain yourself there. Mr. Chair, I would move a CS Senate Bill number 300, Labor and Commerce, 24-LS1261/F, with looks like a zero fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Seeing an objection from? Just kidding. Hearing no objection, so moved. And we will be adjourned. And then, Josh, what time? Same time on Friday, right? I was thinking there was a difference in time. 3:15 Friday. See you here.
Is that Eastern time?